need to press the record button. So that's good that you made me aware of that. That's essentially what. So I shared a little bit about the background of how the coach model or the change model was developed, and that Michael looked at different coaches and okay, what is the structure of success, a successful coaching session? But he also looked at how does a coaching session change someone's thinking? And that really hit home for me in with regards to the thinking styles. And that what you're actually doing with the questions that you're asking is that you're activating a thinking style in someone. So that means that you're asking the questions, but you need to ask that in such a way that you actually activate that thinking style in your client. And then you need to pick up, are they able to do that or not? Because then that might be something for them to focus on. And so just for me, the idea of I need to activate that word just resonated with me, and I thought I'd share that in case that also resonates with others. And to be able to pick up on what are you deleting in your client, but also what are you naturally deleting. So that's why expanding meta programs is so important.
Okay.
Any questions about that?
No, I think I'll where can I go read about that? About Michael Hall's writing on the modeling successful coaching and how that works in the client's thinking.
Say that again, Holly.
Where can I go read some of Michael's writings about the modeling he's done on successful coaches and how that works, how thinking style works in the client's mind?
Well, I read, and it's very succinct. There's not a lot of information, but I read that in Coaching Conversations in the latest edition of
Okay.
Coaching Conversations. There's just not a lot of information there about what specifically he did and the process of that, not in the Meta Coaching Volume 1 or in Volume 2 Coaching Conversations, but he does share a little bit at a very global level. So,
Is that in one or two?
two.
Okay.
Well, in both, he shares a little bit, but in two, he shares more about the structure and stuff.
Okay, thank you.
So I can you hear me now, Fem?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yeah,
Yeah, I had to
great.
plug and unplug my mic. I'm not sure what happened. So when you talk about thinking styles, you mean meta
Meta
programs.
programs, yes.
Okay. And so you're adding global versus detailed as one into the
It's not actually a different axis, but Michael does add that as a. I'm just looking for my book so I can, so
I have
maybe
one.
I could.
I have it also. I have to go get it though. I have the same book. I just got it in the mail.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, so basically that's what he mentions is that's that's a meta program that is not actually an axis, but it plays into co-creation, for example, because you can think internal and external, you can be internally referenced and externally referenced, but if you don't detail it out, then you're not going to have enough, how do you say that? Then you're going to see for example, the big picture and not the incremental steps that are going to help you get to the next.
So isn't that similar to the skill of meta detailing? The being
Yeah,
able to take the big picture and bring it
absolutely.
down. Okay. The other question I have is, when you say activating someone's thinking style, so they can make that use that energy to make the change. What do you mean?
So what I mean by that is that what we teach in the Axis of Change is that you're asking questions, but it's not just, you can ask those questions, but your client may not actually answer the questions because they just don't know how to, they might just even don't know how to answer those questions because they're, so let's say you ask a detailed question or a specificity question of your client, and your client has a preference for global thinking, then they are not going to answer your question in the way that you need them to answer that question, because they delete that information. They just don't focus on it. So
what you're saying then is whereas each of the axes has something to do with the meta program, to make sure that the client has both parts of the meta programs, at least those parts that are needed to make the change.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, to both experience. And so if they seem to be lacking in one part of it, like towards or aways, if they go towards too much and never away from,
right,
then, and being away from is important, then it would be useful to stop and work on the away from piece of that meta program.
Exactly. And your client, so you're going to, and in this, I think as a coach, you also need to lead a little bit, but your client, you can ask your client, okay, what do you need to get out of this session? Well, what they're going to focus on is what it falls within their preference. So for the longest time, within this system, I was very focused on matching. I was very focused on internal, so the inner game. And so that's what if someone was coaching me, that's what I would make part of my topic is, oh, I need to do focus more on my inner game and beliefs. Now, what I actually really needed was to take action and to bring those actions and to actually focus on that. But that was just not my – I was just deleting that because I didn't even like it. And then I wondered why is coaching not effective? Well, it was because I wasn't focusing on the right things and I wasn't being made aware of it. And so that's one way that you can use the Axis of Change, have those four meta programs and be aware of what is my client's preference. And so you can even give them an overview of where in the change process are you and explain to them in simpler terms. So this is what you need to have a synergy in internal and external reference. So we need to work on your inner game and your vision and stuff like that. But we also need to work on the steps and stages. And this is where you're starting to listen for things unheard, things unsaid.
Unsaid.
Yeah. So
the other thing you mentioned was, and this could be good for the recording, that you mentioned that people might have a tendency to change quick and you'd want them to make a more informed change. Mm-hmm. So what is, now I'm thinking about what the meta program is for them to want to change quick and not slow down.
Yeah, to make the decision quickly. So
what's the problem with that?
Well, at times it's just not well informed. So that plays on the decision axes where you have, mm-hmm, probing and provoking.
Right.
And they don't even want to really explore what needs to change, but they're like, yes, I'm going to change. And
right,
they don't actually know the consequences. Just as an example, I've had a coaching client who was like making a decision of whether or not to divorce. And making that decision of, yes, I'm going to divorce. And then once he told his wife, that's when all the consequences came bubbling up. And he didn't want to talk about that in the coaching session. It was just, okay, let's go. And so being very optimistic, so that might be a combination of that as well, having a very optimistic view of that and not wanting to reflect and say, hey, what might happen if I make this decision? What are the financial consequences? What are the relationship consequences, et cetera, et cetera? And so that's when you, you know, that's where you also want to put someone to the other side and get them to reflect and make sure, because what you're doing in the probing area is that you're making sure that the change is ecological. And so you can even, someone who is really active, you can ask that person, is this ecological? And they'll say, yes, 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 because you've done the motivation axis. It feels really good. Is it ecological? Yes. And they don't really check in with whether it's really ecological. And so that's where, as a coach, you also want to kind of slow them down and really test, okay, so what are some of the consequences of making this choice, and get them to go there?
So it might be they may have metaprograms of being active and towards, and not reflective and away from.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. So then you want to just focus, like, listen for that. And I think that's, it has to do, for me, it has to do with integrity and looking out for the welfare of your client. It's a responsibility to your client. Obviously, they make the decision, but they probably aren't aware that they are deleting information or that they are not unwilling to go somewhere, because that might be too uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing with metaprograms. Last year, what we did with the metaprograms in Oslo, we had people with doing expanding metaprograms. We had them walk from one side of the room to the other side. And in the middle was, so one side of the room was one opposite, and on the other side of the room was the other opposite of a metaprogram that they wanted to stretch. And we had people walk it, and then in the middle was that frame of permission, you know, permission to go to the other side. And then you need to reframe it. So that's the structure of expanding metaprograms. And what happened was that some people, like, had such a strong response to the permission, they started crying or they felt a lot of resistance. And that's the funny thing about metaprograms, is that even though we might at a certain level understand that it's good to go to the other side, with the meaning that we've given it, that might be very difficult. And so that might be the topic of your coaching conversation. And it also means that you need to do some training of your client.
Okay. I think that's all I have.
Okay. Helga?
Yeah. I think about Mayer Briggs. They have a so-called meta program that are, on one side, you are a judger, and on the other side, you are a perceiver.
Uh-huh.
So a judger means you decide very quickly. And so you say precisely that they can delete some important information. So they hear, feel an issue. And so they suddenly say, I mean that. That's my standpoint. And
yeah.
The other persons, they say, I need it on this meeting. And we must have a meeting the next week so I can feel and go into the issue, and maybe the next week they need a new meeting before they can decide. And some people, they, in a way, never can decide. They have to feel and experience and perceive. So this is also a way that the people are talking beyond each other in a meeting. Some go to a meeting and they want to decide, and other people they come to hear, get information, but not decide. They are afraid of deciding.
Absolutely. And that's when you're working in teams, that's when you need to, that's where you need to teach them. And that's what you do as a team leader. When you're a team leader in the MetaCoach training, that's what you learn, to help people celebrate the differences and also realize that in one context, a thinking style is very effective, is more effective than another, than in a different context, and vice versa.
Yeah. And I think what you said, to some people have a preference to natural delete some information so they can maybe go too quickly to decide. And and afterwards, first, they will discover the consequences.
Right. And so, and you know, you don't necessarily know all the consequences, because you don't necessarily know how people are going to respond. But the better prepared your client is for the outcome or the consequences, the better it is for them, and that also reflects back on you as a coach. I've seen that more often where the coaches are highly optimistic as well, and they're just like, oh yeah, let's go, and they don't get their client to kind of think through the consequences and make an informed decision, and you can do a lot of damage that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is helpful.
Thank you. Very good. Yeah. Okay, so Christian.
Yes, I have a reaction about what you said about the thinking style is energy, which reframed the process of axis and of changes. Michael describes it as a dance with a client, but thinking it as a energy of the thinking style, so it made me think that the coach is not only following the energy of the client, but also bringing energy to his system on the meta programs which are not often used by the clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what we do when we enter the, when we work with the axis of change, first we follow the energy of the client. So your client might go to away from, and then you follow your client there, get that away from strong enough so that they are ready to go to the other side. And so that's the dance that you do, is first I'm going to follow, but then I'm going to lead you to the other side, and you may not want to go there. And so that's stretching someone beyond their comfort zone. And if you then ask questions, so let's say you've done the inner game. Now, what are you going to do? How are you going to practice that over the next two weeks? And your client has no idea. Every time you ask that, you might have had three sessions. And every time you ask that, they don't know how they're going to practice their new frames or in what situations. And they can't come up with a list. That's when you might need to kind of show that as a pattern. Hey, it seems like this is a pattern. So you want to activate that energy or that thinking style. And if that's it, if that consistently, you know, if that's a pattern that doesn't work, then that's what you need to feed back, because that's what they might need to work on.
Yes. It's something I know that progress of as energy being somewhere, and for me to really emphasize that.
Yeah, nice.
And it's
Yeah, very good, Christian. So how does that insight change your coaching conversation?
I will feel more about bringing the attention and so the energy on the client. So just bringing the attention means bring the energy is something new in my way of thinking.
Okay.
And it seems less doing something to someone. It's just pushing, just putting the attention and the energy will just follow, and the thinking style, it will be like a loop, I think.
Yeah, and that's also the way what you're doing is you're bringing attention to it.
Yes, and I have a question about that, because I noticed that in your feedback on the ACMC Revisited before, you mentioned a lot energy. There is energy there. Is this something that it's useful to say to the client?
I think that might actually be jargon more than it's useful for the client. What you want to do is to make it more specific. So like Pascal earlier said, you're speaking quickly. That is, and then you can even mirror that, but that's a very specific feedback that's going to be, I think, more effective than saying, is there energy there? You can, speak in your client's language. So is that important? It sounds like that's an important part of this. Do we need to discuss that? So giving feedback and then asking a testing question, that would be important.
Okay.
And for some clients, that makes sense. It sounds like there's energy there, but... it's in a way quite vague.
Okay. Well, okay. Anyway, for me, it was a great insight.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah, so, and try it out, too, with what works with your client. Okay, so any other questions about this? So I would like to do a coaching session, 25 minutes. And what we focus on is going to be the axes. So I'm not necessarily going to benchmark on the benchmarking forum, but really to focus on the axes of change. So who would like to do the coaching? Pascal, I see you.
Someone else will.
Yeah.
I've just done one, so I'm willing to, wait.
Yeah. So let's see if someone else would like to. Holly or Helga or Christian? So this is your chance to practice with your voice and with stretching someone and maybe also stretching yourself with thinking styles. Christian?
Yes, I'm not very comfortable with the model, but I think it's a good opportunity to improve.
Very good. And so I'll be supporting you. I'm mostly going to mute myself, Christian. But if I feel that it's helpful for you to for me to support you, then I will do that. And you can always ask me.
Okay.
So it's just practicing. Who would like to be coached? Where do you want to make a change, but you may not have enough motivation or you haven't made a decision?
Well, I think I could be coached on a topic.
Okay, very good. So then we'll do that. I'm just going to set the timer for 25 minutes. Christian, I'm going to mute myself, and then the 25 minutes are yours. You mostly just need to focus on, you can go down the funnel if you want, but mostly focus on doing the axes, starting with the preparation loop. So that's motivation and decision.
Okay. So, Pascal, we're going to a 25-minute session, and I will even interrupt you maybe if you go too much into content, because we are looking for structure. And just to go really in the thing, what's the change you would like to happen now?
I would right now, I don't know what this is in meters or in kilograms, but I'd like to I weigh between 143 and 145 pounds, and I'd like to bring it down to between 138 and 40, you know, maybe 4 or 5 pounds. The issue I have is with regulating my diet, I have a special diet I need to follow, but I also, I think, overeat in other respects. So I'd like to be, and I feel if I did that, I'd feel healthier, just a few pounds less, as an average. It can fluctuate a little around 139 or so. About 5 pounds.
Okay, so you need lose, I cannot count really well in English, so you need lose a few pounds, and you need make a diet, okay, and what's stopping you from doing that?
What's stopping me from doing it? I guess I haven't fully committed yet to doing it. I've done this in the past in my life where I weighed much more, but I don't think I have fully committed to making the change now. So I think I'd like to more fully commit to it, and to actually do it.
Okay, so you want to make that diet, and you think you're not fully committed. But what does that mean for you to be fully committed?
If I'm fully committed, like I was in a program called Weight Watchers several times, I actually monitored the amount I ate, and the types of food I ate, and managed to lose and maintain that weight for quite a while. So now I haven't done that. I've said I'd wanted to. I had one session with a friend on that, but I haven't coaching session with someone, my buddy, found enough. I haven't committed to the. Let's see. I have a big enough why to do it at the moment. I haven't felt that big enough why to do it.
Not a big enough why. Okay.
That's what I mean by fully committed.
So is finding the big enough why about being fully committed to have your regular your diet that you want to talk about now?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you want when you want that why?
I want to be able to have. I want to feel more compelled to.
More compelled.
To act. And manage my eating, my response to food better, enough so that initially I lose weight and then I maintain it over time.
Okay.
And, you know, if I think of why now, I think of health.
So health is important to you?
Health is important to me because my family has a history of diabetes, and I don't want to repeat. I don't want to get to a point where I weigh so much that I'm not there. I'm not anywhere near that yet. But where I, that's an issue. So okay. I exercise quite a bit, but I haven't really focused much on eating
Okay. You mentioned to be more compelled. What's not enough when you're not compelled?
If you think of the strategy, I think I'd be more compelled in the moment when I make moment-to-moment decisions about what to do. I could think of it now more abstractly, but I can't. But I haven't been able to think about it when I feel hungry. I have choices to make, but sometimes I make choices which are not the best choices.
So it's when you need to think about it that you don't feel compelled enough to make
yes.
the diet.
Yes.
Okay. And you know how you can think of that when you are going to eat?
I know that if I change my strategy before I eat something, if I change my strategy, the trigger, once I have that trigger, if I change my strategy to have that more compelling outcome or more compelling criteria or what's important, then okay. I know that it's possible for me to either eat something different or not eat at all or drink some water or something.
So you mentioned three things. You mentioned the trigger, you mentioned the strategy, mm-hmm. and you mentioned I forgot the last one.
It would be the trigger, the strategy, and the motivation.
And the motivations. Okay, so what do you want to talk about now? Okay. What do you want to act about now? What's the most important thing?
Well, if I were doing this to myself, I would think about the, getting a strong enough motivation to and a trigger and an anchor to anchor it once I'm confronted with the experience with having to decide moment to moment what to eat or not eat.
Mm-hmm. And when you are going to eat, what mm-hmm. do you believe about your motivation at that moment?
Let's see, what do I believe? Sometimes I don't think about it. I don't have that conscious awareness. I feel hungry or I'm involved in working on something. So that's all I could say. I mean, a lot of things run through my mind now. I have to restrict myself to gluten-free foods, but I can have a little bit, or lactose-free foods, and certain kinds of vegetables I can't have. So I sometimes think that that I can't eat even foods that are fine these days.
I'm sorry, I did not understand your last sentence.
I sometimes feel sometimes when I eat things I feel like I'm a little deprived in that because of my health I can't eat things I could eat when I was younger and so it's not just about I'm pretty kinesthetic and sometimes eating something would make me feel better I think there's a lot of things going on.
So if I understand well, there's a sensation somewhere that happening about some things you could not eat and that you cannot eat now and you could eat before.
Yes.
What's that? What do you know that about that sensation?
It's not necessarily a sensation. It's a fact that I'm on a special diet. I can deviate a little from it, but not much. So I sometimes feel deprived about, and this may not be the issue here, but it just made me think about it. In some cases, I may feel like I want a treat or I want something just to deviate a little from that diet. Other times, I feel overall I eat well. I think it's just that over the last 6 or 7 months, I've actually, maybe 5 months, I've gone beyond what I thought was comfortable. for myself, and I don't want to go any further. I don't want to, you know, as I grow older, to gradually get to be like twice my size. So my red flags have gone on. Let's say if you have red flags about how much you feel away or something happening, they've gone up. They're starting to go up even more. And so I'm sort of trying to back off of it and get back to where I was a few months ago.
I'm not sure I quite understood you. You mentioned you are not comfortable since 7 or 8 months. That you did not say. What about comfortable?
I've gained these 5 pounds within the last 6 months.
Okay.
And I don't want it to continue to keep going, so I want to go back to where I was and maintain that.
Okay.
So Christian, I'm just going to interrupt for a moment.
Yeah.
So this is a great place where you can start playing with the towards away from.
Mm-hmm.
So let's focus on motivation for a moment. And I'm just going to give you an example of how you could do that. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. So Pascal, what I've heard you say is that, that over the past 6 months, you've gained weight beyond what you feel is comfortable, and you, don't want that to continue. And to gain more weight, because in your family you have a history of diabetes. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, what I'm hearing you say is that while you don't want that to continue, you are not making, in the moment where you may feel hungry, you are not making the decision, the right decision to to monitor your weight, or that helps you monitor your weight. And one aspect of that is that you feel deprived in where you're at right now.
That's one aspect. Other aspects are soothes anxiety, or, you know, feels good to eat something. So, you know, it's just that's just one, probably.
Okay.
Probably not the major one, but it's there. So I'm pretty kinesthetic.
Right.
So eating helps soothe some things about that.
Okay. So. In those moments, I also heard you say sometimes you just don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it has something to do with soothing anxiety, because what you're saying, I'm hearing you say, is you're pretty kinesthetic. Mm-hmm. And I'm also hearing you say that it's sometimes you just feel like you're deprived and you can't even eat
things
that would be healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's going on right now. And that's what's holding you back from actually monitoring your weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, I monitor the weight. I know what it is every day, and it goes up. But it's the moment-to-moment piece.
Okay, so it's the moment-to-moment piece where you are not making the choices that you would want to make.
It's monitoring what I eat as opposed to my weight. It's
monitoring,
more specifically, how I approach food.
Okay, so it's how you approach food and monitoring what you eat.
Right.
And you're not doing that right now.
Right.
Okay, and so not doing that, what is that costing you?
Well, I'm feeling more uncomfortable with it.
Okay.
So it's discomfort. Mostly intellectual, because it isn't that much more physically than I was when I was 5 pounds shorter. Although I noticed some differences, but it hasn't. But it's mostly it's a concern.
Okay.
I think I did feel a little better when I was, you know, a few pounds less.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that there's like some physical discomfort. But it's mostly intellectual and the concern that it brings up.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say that concern, and the concern has to do with diabetes, is that correct? or
just anything. I mean, I have beliefs about, you know, it's healthier to have an appropriate weight.
Okay.
For your age, that's diabetes is one thing, but it's I don't think I'm that close.
Right.
But it's still healthier overall to be. At least it's one of the contributing factors to maintaining health as I grow older.
And health is important to you?
Yes. Health is important to me.
Okay.
And health is important to me, and being around for a while longer is important to me too.
Okay. So those are two things that are important. Health and being around a little longer. Mm-hmm. A little while longer.
Yeah, living another 20, 30 years might be good.
Okay. So ultimately, that's what it is that you're after, is that you want to live 20, 30 years longer and being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And yes, I think that's it.
Okay. So if you have that, if you could have that, the being healthy and living 20 to 30 years longer, why is that important to you?
Well, because I want to be with my family, my wife, and enjoy things with them, and I want to be able to work on what I'm interested in.
Okay.
So being active in the world.
Okay.
Being active within the world and being able to continue with karate as long as possible
So ultimately what I'm hearing you say is that if you were able in those moments, from moment to moment, to monitor your food, that mm-hmm. would allow you to do karate a little bit longer, to spend longer time with your family.
Mm-hmm. And to work more on my projects.
Uh-huh, to work more on your projects.
That I get absorbed in. Mm-hmm. To work more, not just work more, but work in a way that I'm not. This is away from. I'm not. Like I had a cold and a couple, coughing and for about a month on and off, and that slowed me down.
Okay.
So I mean, it's analogous. It's always hard to think. You know, I had to spend days doing other things. I'd like to be able to enjoy it and be absorbed in what I'm doing as much as possible. There's always mm-hmm. something, you know, an injury or something, but nothing major. And I think that, so I believe that a tendency to grow, larger and larger, you know, eating more and more is not a good direction toward that. So I mentioned I was hitting a red flag there.
Okay. Okay. So what you really want is that ability to be absorbed in what you are doing and to work on your projects, mm-hmm. and have health, like have your health and live 20 mm-hmm. to 30 years longer so that you can be with your family. 30 or 40. Even better.
Right.
So if you could have that, that would be important to you.
Yes.
Okay. And right now, the what you say getting larger and gaining the weight, that actually goes against that.
Yes.
And that it doesn't necessarily mean that you're the diabetes is a concern, but there are health concerns with that.
Well, there are health concerns too. If I eat certain foods, my stomach hurts. Right? My stomach burns. So I have to be careful of what I eat. So that's also in that path. You know, I mentioned gaining weight, but I didn't mention the fact that I have to watch what I eat or else I'll have a burning in my stomach. So that's the special diet. So, you know, there's that also.
So you also want to stick to that special diet?
Yeah, as much
better.
As yeah, it's a as low
much
yeah,
as
it's
possible.
A, yeah, much yeah.
Okay.
To maintain that feeling of I mean, it's mostly under control now.
Okay.
but I can deviate and I can feel the consequences. So it's a definite.
Right.
And that, in a sense, is more. I can tell that right away, as opposed to eating. I can't tell it right away. You know?
Right.
If I overeat, I can't tell it right away. But if I deviate from the diet, I can tell it right away.
Yep.
And that.
Yep.
And that's easy to handle.
So.
If that makes any sense.
Yep. So what I'm hearing you say is that if you actually are able to monitor what you eat and not overeat, so that you can then maintain a specific weight, mm-hmm. that allows you to, that's important to you because then that allows you to live a healthier life, have longer time with your family, and be absorbed in what you're doing in your projects, and look forward to 30 or 40 more years.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want that?
Yes.
Is that important to you?
Very important, yes. Always.
Okay.
Think of it, everyone.
So what if you stayed in this situation where you are not monitoring what you eat and eating to eat away your anxiety, overeating? What will that cost you?
It would cost me many of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do you want that?
No.
Does that make your life a party?
No, it doesn't make my life a party.
Maybe at the moment. So would you like to change that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to take a time out here, Pascal, and go back to Christian. Christian, did you notice what I did?
Yes, you insisted a lot on the attraction and the big why that Pascal was looking for, and much less to the away from. It was in two sentences, but you had a very strong answer from Pascal at that moment to make the decision.
So we had a little bit of the away from, and then I just followed Pascal's energy to the towards, and then brought that back again to the away from. And so he so ultimately all those things that he wants, that's what he's going to miss out on. And I can make that the away from even bigger, obviously, but that plays to the towards and away from. Right now we're not sure yet what specifically it is that we're going to be working on. So I just did the towards and away from, but then we still, now we need to figure out, okay, what is it that today we're going to be working on that helps you monitor what you eat? So that might be the anxiety, eating for anxiety, or feeling restricted, and getting that information. And then you can focus on the decision, because that's the probing part of it. So what is it exactly that we need to be working on? What needs to change?
Okay.
So let me just, because the timer says 2 minutes right now, but let me just set it to 5 minutes. And then what you can do is go, so now we've done the motivation, let's look at, okay, what is the decision? So the probing of what needs to change. So let's say that he changes the eating for anxiety. Then you want to kind of get the strategy for that so that Pascal can choose, okay, this is what needs to change. And that's the probing aspect of it.
Okay. Okay, so Pascal, is it okay that we work on about the anxiety you have about that?
Oh, you can let him too.
Just an idea. I think as I'm listening, I was thinking that it's good to bring those motivations to play moment to moment. And I thought there are two things. One is it's a decision, two decisions. One is a decision about what to leave out of my diet for a while until my weight comes down, which is, for example, adding eating cheese or nuts or something that is really not needed. The other thing is what to do moment to moment to maintain it. So I can think of this in two phases. One is the first phase is deciding what to do. And they might be overlap. What to do to bring myself down to the weight, and make a decision about which foods to leave out. Like when I have yogurt and blueberries, I leave the nuts out. You know.
Okay.
And so or not have a little ice cream in the evening. So there's decisions about initially, and then that's the first phase, and that's probably the most important one now to work on is that initial phase about what do I need to adjust to lose weight, those few pounds that I managed to gain in a month or in a few months.
Okay, so what do you need to adjust to lose weight?
I mentioned making a decision about what types of foods to eat and when.
And just before choosing, can you make that decision now?
I can decide now.
Okay.
I can be specific. I can decide to, when I have yogurt and fruit for lunch, not to include the nut portion. I can decide to reserve ice cream for one night a week rather than every day. I could decide not to order dessert at a restaurant.
Okay.
For the next, until I've gotten down to.
Okay. And you say you can decide. Mm-hmm. Have you decided now?
That's a good question. Yes.
Yes. Okay, now that you have decided, what specifically will you change in the food? You mentioned ice cream only once a month, you mentioned other
things? Once a week. Yeah, not ordering dessert at restaurants. And we do go out quite a bit. Before we go to plays or the theater, and I can cut out for foods like snacks, which are nut snacks, which are mostly fat and carbohydrate snacks. I can not put the peanut butter on my crackers. So I think I can have a list of things.
Can I have a list of things? Okay, what do you need to do to make? Sorry.
Well, I have a list right in my mind now.
I have a list.
Yeah. So I also can drink more water.
Okay. So drink more water, follow your list.
I can drink two more cups a day, yeah. I can increase my water by threefold.
Mm-hmm.
So. So my next step would be to write down the items that my list of things that I've just mentioned. Write them down, and then print them out and have them, and make a note that this is what I'll do for the next month. See what'll
okay.
See how it changes.
And will you write it?
Yes.
One more minute.
Yes. When will you write it?
As soon as we end our call.
Okay. And is this okay with the rest of your life to make that this to write what you will not eat and to follow that list?
Yes. As long as I constrain it, I'll say this is what I'll be doing for this amount of time.
Okay.
And then reevaluate.
Mm-hmm.
Fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I did with Weight Watchers. I committed to going through this this path for the next period of time.
And are you committed to do that now?
Yes.
Okay. That's great.
The other thing I want to do is list my motivations up on top.
Okay, that could be the thing for another session. So.
Oh, I think I can do that now.
Okay. So you will do all these writing things just after we end?
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, thank you, Christian and Pascal. So, Christian, the conversation that you've had, on what axis was that mostly?
On the prober provoker, I think, about what needs to be done, and exploring what was the most important for Pascal to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Then the decision, and that I challenged a bit the decision about will Pascal do it.
Yeah.
We so jumped to the co-create too.
Yeah. So it sounded to me mostly that it was co-creation.
So okay.
What are the steps? So making a list of what he needs to do, and then the next step is, so then he took it to the outer game.
Mm-mm.
And so mostly co-creation, a little bit in the beginning on decision. But ultimately, I'm still, like, I would still be interested in this. So we've got the steps and stages and things like that. I'm still interested what happens in the moment to moment where he doesn't actually make the decision or the choices that he wants, because sometimes he's not thinking about it, or it's eating away because he's more kinesthetic. It's eating away the anxiety or other emotions possibly. And sometimes he just feels more restricted. So those seem to be three, like there seems to be beliefs or thinking behind that makes him make a different choice. So in order to get to what he wants, to do those steps and not have peanut butter and not have, so he's telling himself to, he's basically making it more restrictive. So that's what I would want to still explore, is that like in terms of ecological, what is he going to lose from doing this? Does that make sense, Christian?
Yes. I'm realizing that I found in the co-creation axis, because I was guiding a lot, I believed I was in the prober axis, but it was not enough reflective, in fact.
Right.
That's what I understand from what you said.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, so there would be much more. Then what helps is getting the strategy process of, so how in those moments to moment, how do you do that now? Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when you don't make the right decision? And that's where you inform your client, help your client be informed of, oh, so that's what happens. I really need to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that still is very, let's say that you don't replace, and this might not be it, but let's say that you don't replace the feeling restricted, or if, I think that's the word that he used. with that he with the not being able to eat certain things. And what I'm hearing right now is that he's restricting himself even more. Well, what is that going to do with him internally? Because obviously there's something there that is kind of revolting against that. So let's explore that first so that he can then say, okay, this is what I really need to shift. But Pascal doesn't have that information yet to be able to say, oh, this is what I need to shift.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that would be something to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any thoughts, Pascal?
No, what you said is fine. I mean, as you were talking about it, I was thinking about it, you know. Like, when do I want a piece of peanut butter and jelly? You know, it's when I have a cup of coffee. So I was going through it as you were discussing it. So you're okay. Right. There's not just the big piece, but there's also the moment-to-moment piece.
Yeah.
You know, even the anchor, you know, even putting what I said, write it down. I thought, well, I'll just put it on an index card and carry it around with me. And put my hand in my pocket to touch it when I'm doing something. So, I mean, of a lot of thinking, I can do a lot now, just mm-hmm. by what we've talked about so far, and to try out things,
yeah,
in which I'm interested in doing, to see how I respond. So I,
right.
It's sort of like exploring yourself,
yeah.
Which is also valuable to me, which is also a motivation.
Yeah, and you're going to get information back from that, like what happens in those moments where because there's value in, you know, even though it might not get you to your outcome, when you eat to kind of soothe certain emotions, it has a benefit. So do you want to lose that benefit? Or do you want to replace that with something else so that you can monitor what you eat, but at the same time also soothe your emotions.
Right, right, exactly.
And that's why the probing part is so important.
Mm-hmm. That's true. This has been good. I've been looking at the axis of change as we were going through this. So
good.
Going back and forth, a little diagram you had, a colorful diagram.
Very good. Okay, so Holly or Helga, do you have any questions? Helga?
Yeah, this was interesting. And I wonder if we start with the strategy process and ask, what is the first step that you do that you don't in this present situation? And we hear what is the first step, and then we could ask, what do you want instead? And then we go over to the co-creation.
Mm-hmm.
And so he will say, maybe the alternative step would be like this. And so we can ask, can you do it now? Or what do you think about this? And so we get some frames.
Yeah.
And when we have new frames, oh, do I have this frame? Okay, then maybe we can go back and take the decision axis. Now that you know this is the present first step and this is the desired first step, which of them would you like? So and then jump back and take a decision. Do you understand?
Yeah, absolutely, because that's where you help. If you do the strategy process, that's where you help inform your client on what needs to change. And also, as you ask certain questions, you also can help them see, oh, hey, what am I going to lose if I make that decision? So then your client can say, yes, I want to do this, but only if we can work on this so that I can find an alternative. Or, you know, let's say your client is making that change and the consequence has something to do with their relationships. Someone might be getting angry because they make that change. I'm willing to do this, but only if I can learn how to be calm when someone gets angry with me. So then you make that process ecological.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, you strategy process has a real is really links in with the axis of change.
Yeah. And when you make it to the small steps, what is the first step that you would like in the desired situation? And so what will be the next step? And he says the next step, but suddenly he says, oh, when I feel that or think about that, I get some frames. Okay, so we have to work with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, so I have another question, and that is when we go from the motivation axis, we have away from and the desire towards. And then we get the pro and the contra arguments. And isn't it right that these two arguments is what we take into the decision? You have when you have the motivation for and you have the motivation away from, how do you list or how do you rank these? That is the process of getting a decision.
Well, yeah, then we look at, so once we've got the motivation towards and away from, that can be at a higher level. And then you get into more details of what specifically is going to change. And then you look at the pros and cons. What are the consequences of making this change?
Yeah.
So what are the pros? What are the cons? And if you don't make that change, what are the pros and cons of that? And then you kind of weigh that. But first, that's one part of probing. And the other part is what exactly needs to change.
And then do you mean in smaller steps? What do you exactly mean?
Well, it could be in smaller steps, but also in bigger steps. What are the things that you're going to be changing so you can that's where you kind of start grounding it. Hey, you want to be here, you want to do something else. Let's use Pascal's example. Let's say that you're going to monitor what you eat in every moment. You're going to monitor what you eat. And so that means that ice cream once a week. So we've done part of the co-creation, ice cream only once a week, not every night, no dessert at restaurants, and they go out for that quite a bit. Like, so like you say no to all these things, then what is that going to cost you? And what is that going to give you? Because then you get more detailed about the price that it's going to be. And it's important to you. This is important to you. But when you look at this, that might mean that you actually go back to refining the outcome. So that might mean that, well, yes, I also need to find out a different way of soothing my emotions, or I need to reframe feeling restricted. So I also, in addition to saying no, I also need to figure out what I need to say yes to. So you're making the decision more ecological.
Yeah. And this was very a dance between the axis of motivation and decision and co-create.
Yep.
And so sometimes when they say they want to decide, it is maybe difficult to decide before they understand or see the alternative. So you have to experience a part of co-creating the desired state so they can make that more attractive. And first then it is easier to go back to take a decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. That's why it's a dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you, Helga.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or insights? Okay, so if there's no more questions, you can also always ask questions during the week on the Facebook group. I have recorded 90% of this training, so I'll be posting that online. And 2 weeks from now, we have this session at the same time on a Tuesday, 11 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Central European time. And I look forward to hearing from you in the meantime. All right, have a great day, afternoon, or evening, and we will be in touch. Bye, everyone.